I am one of those people who is guilty of being in my head most of the time. Through most of my life, I've carried my body along for the ride, but I've paid it very little attention. I'll notice a bruise on my shin or my elbow and have no idea where it came from. Has that happened to any of you? Yeah? Okay, good. I'm not the only... Sorry, I mean, not good, but you know. It's just comforting to know, you know. And how about the larger question? How many of you feel like you're in your heads most of the time? Okay, some of you are familiar with it. Excellent, okay. So you know how kids sometimes mishear song lyrics? The other night, our son sang a song with not quite the right lyrics that went like this. My body lies over the ocean. My body lies over the sea. Join in. My body lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my body to me, to me. Bring back, oh, bring back my body to me. Nice. Thank you. The perfect expression of my disembodied state. I can sit for hours on end in front of my computer or talking with people in meetings entirely in my head. Turns out this is not particularly good for a person. When I hit my 40s, my body started to protest. I would stand up after a long stretch of work and feel all stiff and creaky, tension and pain lodged in my neck, back, and legs. No good. As Sue Ellen Gunther quoted recently, "You have to take care of your body. Otherwise, where will you live?" Residing in my head at the expense of my body was not good for my body. It also took a toll on my emotional and spiritual well-being. Perhaps this is a familiar scenario for some of you. My head spirals would produce emotional stress. The emotional stress would build up in my body, getting stuck in knots of muscle tension. The physical tension would then in turn make me cranky and more emotionally stressed. Emotional stress and physical tension would continue to escalate like that in a neat little closed feedback loop. Over the years, I've made various attempts to calm my nerves and nurture my spirit through meditation. It helped a bit. But I was constantly struggling with my thought spirals, monkey mind, they call it. I would try to notice the thoughts, let them go, and return to the breath. But the monkeys in my head are fierce. They will not let go. I mentioned before that one of my sabbatical projects last year was exploring the more embodied spiritual practices. Walking in nature, yoga, and the one I found most effective for me, Qigong. For me, focusing on body movements as well as breath does help quiet down the monkeys in my head. Furthermore, you know the research, certain body movements, especially when paired with deep breathing, can trigger your parasympathetic nervous system. That's the rest and digest response. So my thoughts calm down and my body calms down, both of which help my emotions calm down. It's like a release valve for that stress-building feedback loop. The Chinese practice of Qigong is designed to improve all aspects of health, physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. I like that it is grounded in the natural world and that it is all about relaxed posture. Even one of the simplest movements can help me feel relaxed and more grounded. I face an open window. I stretch out my arms wide and up. I imagine gathering the life energy and then relax my head, my face, chest, down to my belly. Ah. The more I practice, the more grounded I feel, the more able I am to walk in the world as the kind of person I want to be. What kind of embodied practices have that effect on you? Swimming in lakes, walking labyrinths, hiking in the woods, Aikido, sacred dance, Tai Chi. I encourage you to share your practices with one another at coffee hour. It amazes me that body posture can have such an effect on mood and spirit. Apparently, Charlie Brown figured this out decades ago. In the first frame, Charlie Brown, head down, shoulders hunched over, says, "This is my depressed stance." He explains, "When you're depressed, it makes a lot of difference how you stand." In the third frame, he continues, "The worst thing you can do is straighten up and hold your head up high, because then you'll start to feel better." Last frame, returning to his hunched over pose, "If you're going to get any joy out of being depressed, you've got to stand like this." You will notice that your order of service says that mixed in with spoken reflections, we will also have a chance to try a few embodied practices. The first one gives us an example of how body posture can affect emotions. As you know, if you've seen the TED Talk or watched the TV show Grey's Anatomy, so Sean and I have a bet about this. How many people watch Grey's Anatomy? Oh, Shauna wins. Okay. I thought two. She said six. Okay. It's a TV show. Okay. Studies have shown that if you hold a certain body expanded poses for 2 minutes, you can increase your sense of confidence and improve performance. These poses can be helpful if you're feeling down or anxious or just need an I can do it boost. There is the victory pose, the CEO, the subway guy, you know, the guy who spreads out and takes up space, and the superhero. This is the one they do on Grey's Anatomy before a difficult surgery. So let's try the superhero. As you are able and willing, stand in this pose. You may need to get on an angle so your elbows don't bump your neighbor. Feel free to move into the aisles. Feet apart, hands on hips, shoulders back, chest open. And we're going to see if you can hold it for a full 2 minutes. And as you do so, notice how you feel. In the studies, they hold this pose in silence, but I thought to stave off boredom, we could try it with a soundtrack. As Superman is too long, I tried it, we'll go with another John Williams classic. So your body pose can affect your spirit and emotions. Your body and your mind can also work together. You can enhance the impact of a particular embodied practice by calling forth particular images in your mind as you move. I was at a meeting the other day in which Margot Lodds mentioned a practice in which she does just that. She agreed to share it with us today.
Just before I say what I'm supposed to say, I would like to add that this past week I learned that Andy Lee, was a Big Brother in Big Brother, Big Sister organization. And I think that reveals a whole new set of skills and interests that he has. Once or twice a week, I go to the Esquimalt pool to do aquafit. I do it on my own, not in a class, going up and down the pool, performing the different movements. I overhear other people talking about their last visit to the doctor or how awful Trump is, but I use this time to remain in the present moment, to enjoy the feel of my body in the water, and to cleanse my mind. The exercise movements have some similarity to movements on land and are so named. When I am doing the aquafit cross-country skiing, I recall myself in northern Ontario, skiing through the forests with the snow sparkling on the pine and spruce branches. In my mind, I see the animal tracks left by a squirrel or rabbit, and maybe sometimes I catch sight of the tail end of a deer disappearing among the trees. When I am doing the crab walk, I visualize myself on the beach in Australia, the year I was an exchange teacher there, with the surfing winds rolling over the expanse of sandy beach. I recite to myself, "I'm a happy little crab on a sandy beach, walking in the sunshine." Silly, yes. But when I come out of the pool at the end of the hour, my body is limber, my spirit is refreshed, and I am at peace.
In our next embodied practice, we invite our bodies and minds to work together. It's a seated pose that will hold for a full about 2 minutes. Let's settle in first, as you are able and willing. Place both feet on the floor. You might want to imagine them rooted in the earth. As you breathe in, invite your shoulders to shift back so your chest can be open. If it's comfortable for you, you may wish to sit up tall in your chair as if the crown of your head is connected to the sky. Now bring your hands up like this, palms up and out, open. Make whatever adjustments you need to be comfortable. If you prefer, you may wish to rest the backs of your hands on your lap or rest back against your chair, tilting your face upward. When you are ready, close your eyes. As you breathe, shoulders back, chest open, palms up. Picture in your mind some things you appreciate in life. Aspects of the natural world, living beings, animal or human, sights, scents, tastes, sounds. What makes you smile? What opens your heart? What in this interdependent web of life do you appreciate? See as much detail as you can in each image as it drifts across your mind. If you are willing, you might invite a small smile to come to your lips. Breathing, enjoying each image in your mind's eye until the music ends. Thank you.
be.
It is the first truly sunny day of the spring, and my daughter is jumping on a trampoline. Her knees tuck in as she leaps, and her curls are flying around her, and she's laughing and laughing. My niece, the same age, 5 years old, is bouncing too, and soon the two of them are rolling around in the sun, red-cheeked and giggling. It strikes me with a bittersweet feeling that this is embodiment. These girls are fully embodying their joy, from their static charged hair to the wiggles of their toes. Is this wild joy the fruit of practicing embodiment? But at this age, my daughter embodies all her emotions, pleasant and unpleasant. When she's sad, her whole body is sad, and when she's angry, her whole body quakes. If emotions were paint, I think this would be like dumping an entire can of a primary color over your head. But for me, I don't think I ever feel just one emotion or one color. No, I'm more like an armful of those paint swatches. At any given moment, you know those ones that fan out that you get from the store that have fancy names like Phantom Mist? That's my palette. And when I sit with myself in quiet moments, I feel, for example, a little blue in my back, maybe a blush of rose across my chest, tight yellow in my shoulders, maybe some moss green lights my feet, and so on. It's rare that I ever feel a single sky blue emotion. Instead, I watch and feel many colors through my wrists, my voice, my bones. The other night, my daughter asked me questions that she'd never asked me before. She asked, "Why do we die, Mama? Mama, why can't we choose when we die?" Watching my daughter on the trampoline, I wondered, can I embody the whole of my joy, but also my sorrow and pain, wonder and gratitude, from the tips of my hair to the tips of my toes? And what obstacles to embodiment have I accumulated through my life? What obstacles will my daughter soon be collecting herself? Can I learn to re-inhabit my own body, a rainbow landscape of emotions and experiences in the sunny days and every day, with breath, bitter and sweet, giggles, tears, and trampolines? I just might be.
One embodied practice not to be overlooked is singing. When we sing, we use our bodies as instruments, inviting the music to reverberate through our beings, giving expression to all the colors in our emotional landscape. Your order of service says we're going to sing the song at the end of the service, but we're swapping it in early. Please rise as you're willing and able. here we are. Our bodies can be tools of expression. Our bodies can be tools for cultivating emotional strength and spiritual grounding. Our bodies can also offer us gifts of insight. When I was about 30, I tried out a spiritual director who used a method that was new to me. Throughout my 20s, I had reaped many benefits from periodic stretches of talking therapy. But after a decade of it, I felt like I'd plateaued. I knew my issues, I was working on my issues, I had gotten as far as I was going to get with my mind in the driver's seat. The new method was a body-focused spiritual direction. In our sessions, the spiritual director would lead me through a body scan, feel your head, neck, arms, torso, etc., and then she'd ask what I noticed. Were there any particular places that were calling for attention? I'd respond with things like tension in my shoulders, a lump in my throat. I'd then sit with one of those places for a while, feeling it, noticing how it shifted in color or in shape. Then she would ask me to notice what else, if anything, floated into my consciousness. Images, dream fragments, memories, song lyrics. It was like a sideways way of getting into my subconscious. In working with images and phrases that emerged, I uncovered feelings and insights that I would not have had access to if I'd approached them head on with regular thinking and talking. I had a whole new set of tools with which I could work on my issues and lean into living as my best self. Remembering my experience with body-focused spiritual direction got me thinking about listening to the messages and insights our bodies can convey to us. I wondered, what would it be like if we were more in tune with what our bodies have to say? And what would it be like if our response was intentional, compassionate care? For most of us, our bodies have been with us a long time. They've been working hard, doing their best to carry each of us along the ups and downs of our respective life paths. Our bodies don't always work well. Various parts break down and cause discomfort or pain. All the more reason to tend to our bodies with gentle, compassionate care. And so to close, we'll end with a guided meditation aimed at listening to and being compassionate with our bodies. You are invited to participate in whatever way feels right for you. If at any time you want to veer off into your own meditation or prayer, or if you just want to enjoy this time to rest, feel free to do so. Breathe in, breathe out. If you feel comfortable doing so, close your eyes. Bring your awareness to the top of your head. Imagine tensing up your scalp. Hold it there, tense and tight. Then release and relax. Now bring your awareness to your forehead, your eyes, your nose, cheeks, ears, mouth, chin, jaw. Tense up your whole face, scrunch it up tightly, 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 then release, relax and soften. Keep breathing. Tense up your neck and shoulders, hold them there, scrunched up. Then relax and release. Bring your awareness down your upper arms, your elbows, forearms, wrists, palms, fingers, thumbs, backs of your hands. Ball up your hands into fists and tense up your arms. Tight, 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 tight. And relax. Bring your awareness to your torso, your chest, your belly, your hips, your lower back, your upper back. Feel your ribs expand and contract with each breath. Tense up your torso, chest, belly, back, your whole core, tight, tight, tight. Then relax. Bring your awareness to your legs, thighs, knees, backs of your knees, calves, shins, ankles, tops of your feet, toes, soles of your feet. Tense up your legs and feet, curling your toes, tense the leg muscles, tense, 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 and relax. Take a deep breath and imagine a wave of relaxation moving from the top of your head all the way down. Neck, shoulders, arms, hands relaxed. Torso, hips, legs, feet, toes relaxed. Everything relaxed. If it feels okay to you, take a moment to scan your body and see what you notice. Are there places in you that are still holding tension or otherwise trying to get your attention? Ask yourself if it would be okay to mentally sit with one of those places for a bit. If not, you may wish to focus on your breath or let your mind wander elsewhere. If it is okay, gently bring your attention to that place of tension and just sit with it. Notice its color and texture. Mentally hold it with gentle compassion. If it feels okay to do so, you may wish to ask if that place has a message for you. If it could speak, what might it say? Keep breathing. Slowly widen the scope of your awareness to include your whole body. Offer it some warm wishes, whatever it might need. Empathy, compassion, encouragement, appreciation. Be kind to your body. It is doing the best it can. We are all doing the best we can. Let's remain seated and close with a loving kindness meditation in song.